We're reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila, Chapter 6, entitled Lord Chaitanya Meets Raghunath Das Goswami. The chapter begins to describe how Raghunath Das had developed great attachment to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It began due to association with great Vaishnavas. As a young boy, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami got the association of Haridas Thakur, for example, who used to be a regular visitor to his parental home and who would speak there. So we can understand that naturally, in the association of such a Vaishnava, he received great mercy. Raghunath Das became very much attached to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And his parents, they were very aristocratic and wealthy. Although Raghunath was born in a Kayastha family, basically an undefined caste, and therefore considered Sudra, still these Kayasthas often had prominent positions in the government, or in this case, his father was a very important zamindar, so not only a landholder, but also collecting taxes. And they had an enormous income. So they were very wealthy, and Raghunath Das had everything one could desire in this world. But nothing interested him. His only interest was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in that situation, Raghunath Das had a great desire to join Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But his parents not only were very, very careful about that, and they made all the arrangements to keep him, and they made sure that he was always accompanied by many associates, right, who were keeping a constant eye on him. So it wasn't very easy to escape. He tried several times, but each time was brought back to his father's house. Tabe Raghunatha kichu vichari lamane Nityananda Gosaira Pashe Chalilare Dine. Then Raghunath Das considered something in his mind, and the next day he went to Nityananda Gosai. Pani hate grame paele prabhure darshan kirtaniya sevak sange ore bahujan. In the village of Panihati, Raghunath Das obtained an interview with Nityananda Prabhu, who was accompanied by many kirtan performers, servants, and others. Ganga tire vrikshamule pindira upare Bashi ochenak yenakoti suryadayakare. Sitting on a rock under a tree on the bank of the Ganges, Lord Nityananda seemed as effulgence as hundreds and thousands of rising suns. Tane upare bahubakte hanacha vestita dikki prabhura prabhav raghunatha vishmita. Many devotees sat on the ground surrounding him. Seeing the influence of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Raghunath Das was astonished. Nowadays, one can still visit this place, Panihati. It is a very nice place, not far from Calcutta. And on this day, there is a very wonderful festival taking place. And the mood is still very much like it was. Nothing much has changed. There is a particular area where that tree, where Lord Nityananda sat, which is a great banyan tree on the bank of the Ganges. And somehow or other, the Ganges flows quite gentle at Panihati. It is a very nice and peaceful place. And the area where the tree is situated has canals around it, and they only have small pedestrian bridges, so there's no traffic entering, and it looks very much like it used to 500 years ago. So in that place, Lord Nityananda was seated. It wasn't just In that place, Lord Nityananda was seated. In that place, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was seated. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in his form of Nityananda. In that particular form, the Supreme Lord is described as being always intoxicated. It said Lord Nityananda is Nitya Ananda, always in ecstasy. His ecstasy is even greater than the ecstasy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is said, why? It is said, Lord Nityananda is always intoxicated in serving Lord Chaitanya. And that service is such nectar that this is the reason why he's just overwhelmed. He is like drunk. He cannot even see straight. His eyes are rolling in his head, and the result is that Lord Nityananda can no longer distinguish who to give the mercy to. Therefore, he just gives the mercy to anyone. When it moves, he gives the mercy. That is the name. Pashu Pakijura, Pashana Vidara. He gives it to even birds. Even the birds are getting the mercy. What to speak of the birds? Even the stones melt by the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So we are looking here at an extraordinary situation. Right? I mean, Raghunath Das is getting the darshan of Lord Nityananda. It is overwhelming. It is vishmita. He is experiencing, Raghunath Das now, is experiencing symptoms of astonishment. It's more than he had expected. Although his meditation on the Supreme Lord's, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, was constant. He was always thinking of them, constantly, always remembering them. And therefore, one might think he was very familiar in a way. And he was, in a way, very familiar. But the Supreme Lord is such, right, that he still never fails to astonish even his intimate associates, even those devotees who are just in the regular association of the Lord and who are seeing the Lord face to face, the residents of Vrindavan, even they are again and again astonished just to see Krishna. It is described when Nanda and Yasoda in the morning are waking Krishna, it's a thing that as soon as they see Krishna, they just get overwhelmed. Mother Yasoda is supposed to make arrangements for Krishna's bath, but when she sees him, she just freezes on the spot. Then Nanda Maharaj decides that he has to step in. And when Nanda Maharaj wants to step in, then he also gets overwhelmed by ecstatic symptoms and also freezes on the spot. These things are described by Jiva Goswami in his Gopal Champu. Just to kind of show how difficult it even is to just do ordinary things in relation to Krishna. Because every moment with Krishna is astonishing and overwhelming. It's never casual. So in this way, Raghunath Das was coming to Lord Nityananda and saw him under that tree and was just astonished, overwhelmed. Dandavataye Shri Padila Kutidure Shivakahe Raghunath Dandavat Kare. Raghunath Das offered his obeisances by falling prostrate at a distant place. And the servant of Nityananda Prabhu pointed it out. There is Raghunath Das offering you obeisances. Yes. As soon as Raghunath Das saw Lord Nityananda, immediately he just fell flat on the ground. Naturally, because of the overwhelming experience of seeing Nityananda, he was in love and gratitude and awe. He was falling on the ground, and the servant of Nityananda pointed him out. Shuni Prabhu kahe chore dile darshan, ai ai ojitore karimu dandan. Hearing this, Lord Nityananda Prabhu said, you are a thief. Huh? Now you've come to see me. Chora dila darshan, a thief is giving darshan. Chor. Now you've come to see me. Come here, today I shall punish you. Prabhu bale atena nikate nakare gaman akarsiye tarimate prabhu darila charan. The Lord called him, but Raghunath Das did not go near the Lord. Then the Lord forcibly caught him and placed his lotus feet upon Raghunath Das's head. Kotuki nichananda sahaje dayamaya Raghunath kahe kichu hoye sadaya. Lord Nichananda was by nature very merciful and funny. Being merciful, he spoke to Raghunath Das as follows. Nikatenai sechore bagedure dure ajilakpanache dandimotomare. You are just like a thief, for instead of coming near, you stay away at a distance. Now I've captured you, I shall punish you. So in this way, the Vaishnavas are valuing each other's association. Lord Nityananda, who was acting out the role of a devotee, although he was the Supreme Lord, he was simultaneously acting both. He was acting like Krishna, who is missing the association of his devotee, and he was also acting like a Vaishnava, acting who appreciated his devotee, who appreciated Raghunath Das for his qualities. It wasn't just a one-way situation where Raghunath Das was in the junior position, which he was, and only on the receiving end. No, that is not Vaishnava relationship. Although the junior is certainly on the receiving end of the mercy, still the senior also appreciates the qualities of the junior Vaishnava, and his dedication, his devotion is also giving pleasure to the seniors. In that way, it's not one way. All the mercy is coming down from the top and only giving, more mercy, no. So much comes back, so much transcendental pleasure. Therefore, Raghunath was a thief. He was stealing away the transcendental pleasure of Lord Nityananda to be in his association. For that, the Lord said, I will punish you. Dai chida bakshan kara moragane suni anandita hara raganatamane. Make a festival and feed all my associates yogurt and chip rice. Hearing this, Raghunath Das was greatly pleased. That is the kind of punishment that was given. It was a punishment of mercy. A punishment with a plan of Lord Nityananda, that here is Raghunath. He is greatly inclined to his pure devotional service. Now let me arrange that Raghunath will get the blessings of all the Vaishnavas. Because without the blessings of the Vaishnavas, how can one really progress in spiritual life? That is essential. So let Raghunath render service to all the Vaishnavas. Therefore, he ordered him, you shall make a festival for all the Vaishnavas. So Raghunath Das immediately took this order of Lord Nityananda as a great blessing, and he became very pleased, very happy with that order. Seiksanani jaloke patayla grama bakshadrava loke shabe gramahitaya. Raghunath Das immediately sent his own men to the village to purchase all kinds of eatables and bring them back. Chidadai dukta sandesh orechine kala sabyadrava anai chodike darila. Raghunath Das brought chipped rice, yogurt, milk, sweetmeats, sugar, bananas, and other eatables, and placed them all around. It is a fact that even today in Panihati, when the Chiradai festival is being celebrated, that it is not just chip rice in yogurt, if you know what I mean. It's not just that. Right? It's a whole science. The chip rice has to be soaked, undoubtedly. And then the chip rice is finally mixed with the yogurt, but that's not all. There is mango in that yogurt. There are rasgullas in that yogurt. There are gulab jamuns in the yogurt. There are cashews in the yogurt, raisins in the yogurt, all kinds of dry fruits in the yogurt. I mean, it's yogurt that's sort of loaded up. What did you say? Deluxe, huh? Deluxe. Yes, it is yogurt deluxe. It is... It makes muesli look like, you know, kid stuff, right? Something, you know, that is only a perverted reflection of that chirdai, you understand? Who has ever had muesli with a rasgulla inside or a gulab jamun or even other sweets of which we might even not even know what they look like Kheer Mohan, for example, an orange-flavored, well, kind of rasgulla made of koi. In this way, there are unlimited varieties of ingredients entering into that. And then nicely spiced also, nicely spiced. So a little bit of nutmeg must be there, otherwise, ne chalega. Ora gramantare hoite samgre aniala shate duvichare hulna tahanaina. Seeing the crowd increasing, Raghunath Das arranged to get more eatables from other villages. He also brought 200 to 400 large round earthen pots. Bade bade mritkunika anaila panchashate eka vipra prabhulake chire bijayatate. He also obtained 5 or 7 especially large earthen pots, and in these pots, a brahmana began soaking chip rice for the satisfaction of Lord Nityananda. And this chip rice is a little hard. It has to be soaked first so that it becomes nice, soft, and flaky and melts on the tongue. Eka toni tapta dugde chire bijana ardeket kranile dai chini kaladiya. In one place, chip rice was soaked in hot milk in each of the large pots. Then half the rice was mixed with yogurt, sugar, and bananas. It's a long pastime with many verses, and if I would read all the verses, it might take a little long. So we'll just continue narrating a little bit more and also reflecting a little bit more. So certainly it was a great festival. And within that, all the Vaishnavas came and Raghunath received all these blessings and his Sukriti increased manyfold. It is Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his Anubhasya to the Chaitanya Charitamrita is explaining about Sukriti or about pious benefit. And he said there are 3 types of Sukriti: Karmonmukhi Sukriti, Mokshonmukhi Sukriti, and Bhaktionmukhi Sukriti. So he says Karmonmukhi Sukriti is the type of pious benefit that one may attain from engaging in karmakanda activity, pious material activity. And they will give us material benefit. A Vaishnava has no time. No time for such activities. We are not against. We say, no, very nice. How nice. Such pious activities. People who engage in pious activities are very nice. This is nice. But a Vaishnava has no time. No time. Too busy, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said. Too busy for flood relief, food relief, and all these kind of relief, earthquake relief, and this relief, and that relief. No time. Too busy. Too busy with the ultimate relief. The ultimate relief. By giving the pure transcendental Sukriti. Bhakti-mukhi Sukriti. Moksha-mukhi Sukriti. Moksha also is there. Through that one can attain liberation. But again, Mukulitanjali Sevate, that with folded hands, liberation standing at the door, the devotee says, no time, no time, no time. More important things to do. Bhakti Unmukhi Sukriti. The benefit that one gets from devotional service. Because that benefit brings more devotional service, increases one devotional service. And devotional service, pure devotional service, has different characteristics. And one of these characteristics is specifically that pure devotional service is Sri Krishna Akarsani, that it can attract Krishna. And that, what more could one desire? All other desires are pale. All other things are dry. All other things, what meaning do they have? Try to attract money. Try to attract power, try to attract a beautiful member of the opposite sex. What a waste of time. Simply engage incessantly in activities that were that attract Krishna. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very strong about one point, that in the Chaitanya Bhagavat it is mentioned that unless one is a lakpati, unless one chants 100,000 names of Krishna, that Lord Chaitanya will not accept any offering from such a devotee. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was insisting that his disciples would chant 64 rounds. He's hammering on it. Although he didn't ask them to promise it during the initiation, he was again and again repeating that they should chant 64 rounds. And disciples would complain, and they would say, we have too much service. We're just too busy in service. There's no time. There's no time to chant. And then Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said, then you can also chant during your service. During the service you can chant, not on the beats, but just you can chant that also. In that way you can fulfill your 100,000 names. So in this way, one can always be engaged in devotional service, even during work. In the back. Yes, why not? It is said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Vaishnavas used to chant between bites, while taking prasadam, between bites. So a dentist can chant while filling tooth. The drill makes so much noise. You can softly chant. In every job, there are opportunities to somehow or other always be absorbed in chanting. And the time that one has to do it quietly, then in the mind. So, like this, one can always chant. So Lord Nityananda was seated on a raised platform in India at the base of trees. They make a nice platform for people to sit because trees are considered places where one can get some shade and one can sit. And therefore, usually you see in India, under many trees, like a raised circle and filled with earth and nice clay, yes, bricks around it and holding the earth, and then nice fresh clay on top and sitting under that tree. So, like that tree in Panihati still has such a platform. Well, it is said that when Raghunath Das made these arrangements, Raghunath Das was buying up all the ingredients. So the news spread really fast. There's going to be a huge festival. It's huge. And many shopkeepers came and they brought their goods, and Raghunath bought everything. He bought it all And then he invited these shopkeepers to stay for the festival, so they had to eat later on all the goods that they had sold, right? After they had been properly prepared, after they had been offered to the Supreme Lord. The entire festival was extraordinary because it is said so many people came that the banks filled up and people were even sitting in the Ganga. And everyone had these two pots, one with yogurt chip rice, one with milk and chip rice. Even today, you see, when this festival is there, it's like everybody is there. Right? There are different people, different groups who have a camp, different groups of Vaishnavas, they have a camp and they make chip rice. There are old Burimas, these old Bengali ladies who are bent over and really, really old, sitting there with a little pot, yes? And some have a little altar with deities and they offer it there and they distribute it to everyone. So it is still today, it is really ecstatic. And if you're ever in that neighborhood, don't miss Panihati. This is a great time to go to Mayapur because now is Panihati. And next week it will be Snanyatra, right? And then everyone will walk with pots of water from the Ganga to the Jagannath Mandir and bathing Lord Jagannath and then Rath Yatra. In other words, it's a very ecstatic time. And we must certainly get in that mood. It is said that Lord Nityananda personally walked between all the devotees who had the chip rice, and that Lord Nityananda would take some of the chip rice from every pot. What was seen by some, but not seen by all, that Lord Chaitanya was also present in that location. And that actually, Lord Nityananda, as he picked up the chip rice, put it into the mouth of Lord Chaitanya, who then also would take some and put it in the mouth of Lord Nityananda. And they took out of every pot. So everyone got personal maha-maha from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What an amazing festival, and what a great festival of mercy. We see that Raghunath Das, before being able to join Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he received the mercy of Lord Nityananda. That was the arrangement. And Lord Nityananda engaged him in the service of the Vaishnavas. And in this way, the Sukriti of Raghunath Das was increasing and increasing manyfold through that association and that festival, until it finally had to create an opportunity for him to come into the direct service of the Supreme Lord. And on one occasion, Raghunath Das was asked by his spiritual master, Yadunandan Acharya, the family guru, who was an associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was asked to do some errand, and that was the opportunity to escape, to finally escape, and then Raghunath traveled via an unusual route to Jagannath Puri. Instead of going east, he went south, and he went by a whole detour and made it to Puri, to the association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that those who are devotees in Raganuga Bhakti, and particular in Madhurya Bhav, those devotees who have at least come to the stage of Ruchi, that means that they are always drawn in great taste to serve the Supreme Lord. Such devotees are followers of Srimati Radharani. Right? And he says, all others take shelter of Lord Nityananda. All others who somehow or other are afflicted by lust or by material desire, they need to take shelter of Lord Nityananda. Narottam Das Thakur is also explaining Nittai Pada Binebai Radha Krishna Paitanai, that without taking shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, there is no chance to enter into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. It's not possible to obtain them. So we very much depend on Lord Nityananda, who is, he is also Krishna. Panchatattvamakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. He is Bhakta Swarupakam. Lord Chaitanya is Bhakta Rupa. He is the original Supreme Lord who now appears in the form of a devotee, Bhakta Rupa. And Lord Nityananda is Bhakta Swarupa. He is his own form. Swarupa, his own. He is his very own form. The very own form of Lord Chaitanya. But there is a distinct difference between Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Whereas Lord Chaitanya is known as Savior Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is being served. Nityananda is known as Sevak Bhagavan, the supreme servitorship of Godhead. He is the one, the Supreme Lord, who is serving, who is always in that service attitude. And it is in that service attitude that he becomes overwhelmed by transcendental bliss. And it is there that he is Adiguru, the original spiritual master. It is by his, by that ecstasy that he derives from his constant service to the Supreme Lord, that Nityananda is becoming most blissful. Lord Nityananda serves the Lord in the forms of the Purusha avatars. He becomes Mahavishnu, Garbhadaksaya Vishnu, Inksira Daksaya Vishnu. He also becomes Anantasesh, who is serving the Lord in so many ways. First of all, in that form as the many-hooded serpent, it is said the mouth of Anantasesh is the jewel gaze of the jewel of the glorification of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, without the mouth of Nityananda, without the mouth of Anantasesh, one cannot glorify the Supreme Lord. One needs the mercy of the Supreme Lord, to glorify the Supreme Lord. That is how it is. And then Anantasesh serves the Lord in unlimited ways. He becomes his bed, he becomes his seat, he becomes his shoes, he becomes the plate, he becomes the musical instruments by which we are worshipping the Supreme Lord. He is the menial servant of the Lord in any possible way. It is said that Balaram is even becoming Vrindavan. He expends himself, and even in that way, he is serving the Lord. Lord Nityananda is in so many possible ways, in any possible way, absorbed in the service of the Lord. And then, Lord Chaitanya is sent by the order of his mother to Jagannath Puri. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya went on a preaching tour of South India, but he's not really returning to Bengal because he made it clear that he could no longer, as a sannyasi, be with his family. At that time, sannyas dharma was something that was looked upon by the general public, and a certain standard of behavior was expected. Now, who knows what sannyas is all about? And now we're just looking at the transcendental aspect. The very fact that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not go back to his family or to his mother was a social aspect of the particular Vedic culture that he was living in at that time. And therefore, it wasn't appropriate for a sannyasi to go back to his, even to his mother. Although, from a transcendental point of view, there was no objection, no objection at all. And therefore, secretly, Lord Chaitanya did go back to his mother. Secretly? Yes, because it is said that Lord Chaitanya would just appear in three places. He would appear wherever Lord Nityananda danced. As he appeared, he just appeared in this Panihati. It said, in Panihati also lived an extraordinary devotee named Raghava Pandit. His house is still there today. So when we go to Panihati, we don't fail to go to the house of Raghava Pandit and roll in the dust and see whatever mercy we can get there, because Raghava Pandit was another such devotee who, by his service, kept the Lord. He captured the Lord. Raghava Pandit engaged his sister, Damayanti, in making endless preparations, and she was expert in making preparations that wouldn't spoil. And she made all kinds of dry sweets that wouldn't spoil. She made even sweets with mud from the Ganga. Right? Put a little camphor, put some sugar. She filtered that clay from the Ganga into fine powder and then rolled it into balls and with a sugar syrup. Huh? And somehow or other made sweets out of clay from the Ganga. I've never had those. But why not? In this way, she made endless preparations, and Raghava Pandit brought all these preparations also to the festival. So they brought so many preps, and his sister had cooked many fresh preparations, so there were baskets and baskets brought in from the house of Raghava Pandit, also such a devotee. And it said that Lord Chaitanya used to sometimes manifest himself in the house of Raghava Pandit. Although he was somewhere else, then he just manifested himself. So Lord Chaitanya would manifest himself wherever Lord Nityananda danced. He would manifest himself wherever in the house of Raghava Pandit. And he would manifest himself in the house of Sachimata, where sometimes Sachimata would cook and offer it to Nimai, and then when she'd come back in the kitchen, she'd see that all the pots were full. So then she thought, and she was anyway making the offering in a very ecstatic way. She wasn't just going onto the altar and making an offering, ding, ding, ding. No, she was making the offering and crying tears, and she was feeding Nimai. Yeah, so she was in so much ecstasy when she was feeding Nimai. So she came back to the kitchen and all the pots were full. She thought, did I forget? Did I forget to fill the bowls on the plate? Maybe I was just too overwhelmed by emotions, and maybe I just forgot. And then she looked at the plate, and the plate was all clean. And then she said, yeah, I must have really forgotten. Then she offered him again. So she kept on offering again and again. Again and again. She made offering after offering. And the Lord was just eating it and eating it. Again and again. And at one point he sent a messenger, this Kala Krishna, no, this Damodar Pandit, who he was sent as a messenger to inform Mother Sachi that she was that he was regularly eating whatever she offered. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya is said is manifesting his mercy in person. He is manifesting his mercy also in the form of expansions. Sometimes he manifests himself through a devotee. It's the story of Nakula Brahmachari, who just became, Lord Chaitanya just manifested himself through him. And his the potency of Lord Chaitanya was just there within him, same ecstasy. And he manifests himself by expanding himself and just appearing in that place. So we can also look at how Lord Nityananda is expanding himself through his devotees, and how the ecstasy of Nityananda is present in different devotees, and that such devotees can just transform transform whoever they meet. And Srila Prabhupada in the Chaitanya Charitamrita is describing a Shakti Avesh avatar. And he is saying that a Shakti Avesh avatar is a person who is not only filled with extraordinary devotion for the Supreme Lord, who is not only filled with great love, but who is also doing something extraordinary, who is doing an extraordinary service to the Supreme Lord. So by that definition, Srila Prabhupada himself is basically describing his own glories. As we are seeing how he describes the definition of a Shakti Avesh avatar, it doesn't take much to take that one step and to see how he is a Shakti Avesh avatar. He did something very, very extraordinary. And then I remember how it was Jagadish Prabhu who was in Vrindavan during one of the festivals, Gopanim festivals, and who spoke on this topic of Prabhupada being a Shakti Avesh avatar, and it was him who for the first time quoted the verse of Bhagavatam, Tatvak visargo janataka viplavo yasmin pratislokam abadavati api namanyan antasya yasun kitani yat srinvanti grinanti gayanti sadava, explaining that a revolution will be brought about in this world through transcendental literature, in particular to Srimad Bhagavatam, and which will be sung and heard by saintly persons who are always eager to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, even when it is imperfectly composed. Meaning to say there may be some grammatical mistakes or this, that. And Srila Prabhupada came from India with his Bhagavatams, those red Bhagavatams with the cover that had been drawn by himself of the entire spiritual sky. And those Bhagavatams, the English was maybe not perfect, and those unedited Bhagavatams, right, Prabhupada came. So it was pointed out, yes, he is that Shakti Avesh avatar. And in that very same mood of Lord Nityananda, when I first read the Leelamrita and how Prabhupada was preaching in the matchless gift storefront, it sounded kind of romantic. But then when I saw the videos, then I realized, oh my God, did he have to hang out with those people? It's like, did he live with them? I was thinking, I don't know if I would have wanted to live with such people. We are preaching and then nicely returning to our sheltered ashrams, and the brahmacharis here in the manor talking about deluxe are not doing too bad. It's quite spiffy up there. Yes, so Prabhupada created all the comforts for us. Prabhupada made the threshold lower. The 64 rounds, he brought it down to 16. Even Nirjal Ekadasi, Prabhupada didn't make a big thing about it. Prabhupada was more, let's preach, and then you can eat and drink and everything. So, and we did yesterday. Some, the diehards, didn't, but we honored the prasadam. It was really nice. It was ecstasy. Yes, it was a great Ekadasi to the best Nirjal I ever had. just pulling Lord Jagannath's chariots. It was not a Nirjal Ekadasi, it was a Jal Ekadasi.
There was water coming down all the time, right? More, plenty of it, right? It was certainly not dry. But more, more than just water raining down, was there was a rain of mercy, a rain of mercy of Lord Jagannath. But not only the rain of mercy of Lord Jagannath. Once I was in a chariot festival organized by a South Indian temple, and it was very nice. It was a Lord Venkatesh was on the chariot, and his devotees had made an elaborate arrangement, and they were pulling the chariot. And that was it. There was no kirtan. And they were pulling the chariot, and then for 10 minutes pulling, and then they would sit down and rest, and then they start pulling again, and it was all about pulling the chariot, right? And they had invited us, so then sort of in the middle of the, it was a long parade, and then in the middle we came and started the kirtan. And we were ecstatic, running up and down, and they wouldn't chant. They wouldn't chant, and it took a long time. I had to dance, like, you know, as wild as I could, right? And when I get wild, I can get wild. So I was getting quite wild in front of someone, and then finally he got it. He started jumping, and then, you know, and then his neighbor looked from, hey, we can also do that. Yeah. Then his neighbor also jumped. And then finally, in the end, the chariot, they were all jumping, and they kept on pulling the chariot, and they even forgot to rest. Because it is by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, by the mercy of this transcendental kirtan, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, that we are just pulling the chariot. That's automatic. It's the kirtan that is pulling us. And in that way, everything is manifest in a most amazing transcendental way. And we are most fortunate that we can render such service, and that in this preaching of Krishna consciousness, we can get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, of Lord Chaitanya, of Srila Prabhupada, their representative, their chosen representative, to present Krishna consciousness for the modern world, and simply taking shelter of Srila Prabhupada is simply wonderful, and will surely bring us to the lotus feet of Krishna, back to Godhead. If we are serious and dedicated, then why not at the end of this life? Thank you very much. Any question or comments? Yes.